Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 154, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah.
A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's share consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Ben Shapiro, fuck Tucker Carlson, fuck J.K. Rowling, fuck Fondant. It's Friday, yeah. October 9th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I believe in Jack's thighs. They're Pence's hair and I'm a fly. I think about them every night and day. Please tell me how they got that way. Woo. I can't believe they're not sore. All those fibers growing more and more. I believe Jack's big thighs. Jack's big thighs. All right, that is plenty. That is courtesy of J Music Chicago. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I can see him gasping for some air. Looks like he's floored. Well, I've been waiting for this moment since Friday night. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Ooh, wow. Christy Yamaguchi slain with the Rocktober display name at Waffle House. I don't know if I follow that one now. I have to follow so many. I don't know what to do.
Most of the accounts I follow are just accounts that Twitter killed that used to be Christy Yamaguchi, man. That's most of my follows on
Christy
Twitter.
Christy lived here, is what it says.
That's right.
But thank you for that, Phil. Philly Collins, a.k.a.
Philly Phil. We are thrilled to be joined once again by one of our favorite guests here on the Daily Zeitgeist. She is the hilarious, the talented Shireen Lani Yunus!
Woo! AKA! AKA, I just made this up right now. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. Shoe fly, don't bother me. I'm a fly on Pence's head. I live here now because he's already dead. That's all. That's all I got.
Oh, Pence.
Right. He's a demon.
Does
he's
that a demon. Fly have a shoe deal yet? A Crocs collab yet?
I don't know.
Well, my nickname is Shoo Shoo, so...
I know.
Oh, I missed the main part of that was I should have said Shoo Shoo Fly, don't bother me. I don't know. Next time.
You know, people who know you, people who know the fucking... The lore behind the brand. They know the backstory.
Shoo shoes fly. Because people still say fly as a good thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. Did people see the fly emerge from his mouth when he first started speaking? like he was a demon possessed?
Like he was Edgar in Men in Black?
I mean, I rewatched the live stream multiple times. Like, I rewatched that part and it just appears. Like, I didn't see it. Did anyone see it actually, like, fly around and land? Because for me, he just kind of appeared.
It felt like a reveal, like where he was looking and then like he turned and it was like, is that a raisin? What is that?
I thought it was one of those microphones that Broadway stars have on the top of their head just to capture the resonance, yeah. But
to try to be
wait,
subtle.
Wait, that's a thing?
Well, dude, they have them in their hairline, yeah, right?
Or oh,
like,
shit.
Their hairline. I don't know. Sometimes I'm famously like right on top if they're bald.
Oh, shit. Okay, I need one
famously,
of those.
Everybody talks about it. Pence is a big Broadway head, as we know. He went to Hamilton and was
that's
well,
true.
Well-received.
I mean, he did have a radio show back in the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, he liked the spotlight.
Rush Limbaugh on decaf.
Isn't that when he said cigarettes you could possibly... were like, cigarettes are like super safe? Was that when he was on radio?
A-okay.
It was one of those times.
Yeah. He is the thing that he is a vessel for big corporations. He's like the Koch brothers inside guy. He is Big Tobacco's inside guy before that became just impossible to sustain. But yeah, he's the guy who lobbyists pay to do the thing. And he somehow was bland enough to just float all the way to the upper ranks of the the Republican Party.
Almost like a flesh vessel without a mind of its own, like some kind of living dead thing akin to a zombie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's the undead. I saw this tweet that made me laugh that he looks like the bottom of a stingray. And I think that's really true.
Is it because they're a little weird flat face or in your mind you get to decide what the bottom of a stingray looks like and it's that because like, I laughed on both levels.
The bottom of a stingray to me looks like ghoulish, you know, like it just looks, it's like the stuff of nightmares, like even though like but it shouldn't be that way really.
I like, feel like there's like that internet photo of like a like what looks like the underside of a ray and it looks like it's smiling and shit.
Exactly.
I don't know. What
but
who
like,
knows?
Like
I'm not
gill.
Into ray.
It's not
culture.
Even like a smile. It's just like a weird
it's know, a form.
Yeah.
The that John Oliver book, Marlon Bundo, it's like a children's book about gay marriage, and they have a character. It's based on Mike Pence's rabbit, Marlon Bundo. And Mike Pence is portrayed as a stink bug. And I can't look at Mike Pence without seeing the caricature that they made of him as a stink bug. And neither can my 4-year-old. He's like, stink bug.
You're raising him well.
Yes. All right, Shireen, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We are on What the Fuck Was That? Part 5. We're going to check in with where the president is in his euphoric, you know, meltdown thing that he's been doing. We're going to talk about the militia, the Wolverine Watchmen, who were planning to kidnap the governor of Michigan. We're going to talk about Florida and Louisiana trying to kill football fans with COVID-19. We're going to talk about Pope Francis, Big Frankie. We're going to talk a little Brain Bleach news. We're going to talk about what we're going to rewatch over the weekend. All of that, plenty more. But first, Shireen, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, this is actually something I did Google, not even just once, but multiple times because I forgot what the results were. But most recently, I Googled it the other day. I Googled how to buy a house with no money. And the results made me so depressed. I mean, the results were just like, telling me about government loans and like money down and all these words I don't really understand. But I don't know. It's so disheartening flushing my rent down the toilet each month kind of thing. But I don't know if it's possible to own anything now. And that makes me sad. I just want to own something.
It all depends on like the where you are and what it's worth. And like, because LA is one of these cities now, too, where I think it's only second to, I think Las Vegas that is beginning to have like the biggest jump in like lack of rents and mortgages paid, because like, you know, Vegas has just been gutted by the lack of tourism. Mm-hmm. And then LA and like New York is kind of the same way, just ridiculously expensive place to live already. But then you start, you know, deflating the economy and it becomes just a completely ridiculous situation. So,
yeah,
it's sometimes you like look on Zillow and you're like, what the fuck am I doing in California? Like, yeah. I need to go to motherfucking Kansas.
I was on Zillow and I found all these houses and I was like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I still here? But I mean, I was surprised seeing how many other people had that same question. Like, there are so many articles saying like how to buy a house with no money down, how to buy a house with like to avoid paying the 20% down payment kind of thing. And it's just all of these little tactics. Because everyone has the same thought. They're just like, I don't know. So
how to buy money with no money down used to be the highest search thing in like 2005.
Right.
No, like in the subprime lending where they're like, oh yeah, no money. Yep, no problem. Uh-huh. And then it was just like, well, because like now it's they realize, okay, that's too big of a thing to just sort of trust people or rather give credit to people without really verifying, just to kind of keep shit moving, that like, you know, the next subprime lending crisis, they say, is with cars, where they were just like, you could just pull up and be like, yeah, I want a car. And they're like, okay, bye. and then they're like, wait, hold on. They haven't been paying.
Yeah.
Shireen, what is something you think is underrated?
Okay. Hear me out. Nitrogen. You know why? Our atmosphere is made up of 78% nitrogen and only 21% oxygen. And then the other 1% is like stupid shit like carbon dioxide, neon, and hydrogen. But 78% is nitrogen. Like, why doesn't anyone talk about, like, oh, thank God for all this nitrogen in the air? Like,
oxygen,
we never
gets
hear anything
so
about
much
nitrogen.
Press. Yeah,
oxygen has a much better PR person.
Right.
It loves being in the spotlight. It loves talking about itself. But nitrogen deserves our thanks.
That's why I respect the cold brew. Nitro cold brew. That's
exactly
how I pay my respect to the elements. You know what I mean?
But when I learned that, I was so angry. I was just like, nitrogen needs its due, you know? Like, it needs the attention it deserves. 78%! That is a lot! And we're just all about oxygen? I don't know. It made me mad. I like an underdog story.
And then we got nitrous. Nitrous is, like, more fun than pure oxygen. I think pure nitrogen is not nitrous, but...
No,
nitrous is cooler.
I think, you know, nitrogen gets like a good rap in like the culinary world. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like a sci-fi where it's like, oh, the nitrogen froze the person and they shattered into a billion pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so in a way, I feel like nitrogen does get like the shine because we just breathe. I mean, but I know your point. Like, we're not talking about like, well, what happened if we don't have no nitrogen?
Yeah.
Right.
No, but like, it's so, because like, even now, like, I learned this very recently. Most adults will just be like, oh, what makes up our air, or what we breathe? It's oxygen.
Right. Exactly.
And it's like, no, it's not. It's actually mostly nitrogen. Ugh. And oxygen just gets all of the credit, because it's just like that kid in the group project that like does nothing, but then is like the star because, I don't know, they're good looking or something. I don't know.
Tired of it.
I'm not bitter.
You know what? Fuck out of here, nitrogen.
Now,
oxygen.
We do breathe. Like, we need oxygen. We can't breathe nitrogen. Is that it? So it's like a self-centered point of view. That's why we're so into oxygen. Is because,
well, we breathe a combination of everything. Like, our atmosphere is made up of all of it, right?
But our,
like,
blood needs to be oxygenated, right?
Yeah,
like, that's true.
You can
that's
breathe.
Okay, yeah, you bring a good point. But
But it's just self-centered. And it nitrogen's out here doing all the work. And humans are just like, but it only matters what we can breathe.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So there's my nerdy underrated.
What is something you think is overrated besides oxygen?
I know. I was thinking like the easy one would be to say oxygen. But because I like to hurt myself. No. Last time I was here, I said that I was watching Seinfeld, and I have finished Seinfeld since that time. Actually, I finished this week. Monday. I don't know how time works. Yeah. But no one I am glad I watched it. And I think last time I was here, I said I liked it, and I don't dislike it, but I also.
Man, you sound like Kamala Harris talking about the Green New Deal in a debate right now. Just come out with it.
I think that Jerry Seinfeld himself is pretty overrated. Like, he's the weakest link in the entire show. Like, he's the weakest link.
That's not a hot take for sure.
I don't think it's a hot take. I just am new to Seinfeld.
Sure.
And I was just, like, right. You're like, what is it? Like, being like, this is Seinfeld? Like, this is the person that's like lauded as this like comedy guy, like comedy icon. And I'm like, you're cracking in every scene. I don't get it. Like, I don't know.
By far the worst actor. And like, I think we let him get away with it because we were like, he's the brains behind the show. Because at the time, we didn't realize Larry David was the guy.
Right.
But like, I'm late to all of this. I'm like 3 decades behind everyone else. I don't have time. But yeah, like, he gets all this credit. It's the name of the show, but it's Larry David behind most of the funny, like, episodes and all of that.
And seldom is there a moment where you're like, oh, pull up that clip where Jerry's doing something.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
You always want to see every other character. I'd rather hear references to characters that never appear, like Lomez, than be like, oh man, that one scene with Jerry, he's crushing it. It's never, because he's just always like the bad straight character.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it's not a hot take, but I'm just late to realize that Jerry Seinfeld's overrated.
I like this thing where, like, when you were watching it, were you kind of like looking around and be like, wait, hold up, man. Like, am I watching this right? Because this dude is like the worst one out of all of them.
That was exactly how I felt. And I texted my friend being like, is it weird that I think he sucks? And he's like, no, this is like part of it. And I'm like, oh, that's okay.
Trying to treat it with respect. It's like, am I missing like a backstory or something about him that I'm not, that I maybe missed early on?
Because I think it's my fault, obviously, all the time. I'm like, oh, I must be missing something essential here to understand the crux of the show.
This can't be that bad.
Do you think we were like recognizing some emptiness? Because he has turned out to be just kind of like a shitty person. Like, do we think we were recognizing some like emptiness there? Or is it just that they put a stand-up comedian next to a bunch of really great actors, and that's why he's noticeably bad?
It was interesting watching it with that knowledge, like knowing who he is now, and then watching this like weird time capsule of him. I honestly think Larry David just needed like a white man vessel to like say his thoughts out loud. Like, that's like, the more I think about it, the more I'm just like, he could have been really anybody that Larry David got along with enough to be like, you can act instead of me.
Right. It could have been Jeff Foxworthy, you know?
It really honestly could have easily been Jeff Foxworthy now that George is like I feel like George and Jerry are both two sides of the Larry David avatar.
Yeah.
Right.
I did a lot of like backstory catching up, like, oh, the cast members felt this way, and like, oh, he's based off of, or George is based off of Larry David and all this other stuff. So I did some like research on my own because I just like wanted to understand it more. But they were also like, the cast was like, had really petty moments. Like, it's like really straight. Like, it was just so weird. And I'm just realizing the more I become an adult, like any super fan of any show, it's like a red flag to me that's just like, oh, we can't get along. Like, I would rather have someone be obsessed with Seinfeld than like Friends, because I don't know. Is that's not a hot take. That's just a fact of life.
Yeah. I mean, Friends goes down easy. So, like, I could see somebody being obsessed with the feeling that Friends gives them. Like, mm-hmm. it's like a little cocoon. But, yeah.
Who have more black people on it?
Oh, definitely.
Because they have. They both had very little.
That's the other thing. They're both this, like, New York, like fake New York world where, like, not a single black person's around. Except for in season six, yeah, there was, right. like, someone that cuts off Jerry and he's like a black guy named like Lamar. It's just like this weird, I don't know. It's just, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. The like, that's how they treated gay people, and being gay at the time was like, don't want to be offensive to people exactly. who are gay. And then like George, like the gay terror George feels when he thinks his dick moved during a massage. From a male masseuse is, it's they're all part of the same that same 90s mentality of like, what do you mean there are humans besides straight white men?
Yeah, I mean, after I finished watching it, I was just like, okay, now I'll understand every reference a straight white guy makes. Like, I'm finally caught up on this sliver of Americana. I am no longer in the dark.
Yeah, between that and every Adam Sandler film, you should be straight.
I have to do that still. I'm not caught up.
Oh my God. Shireen just looked so exhausted. Which is... I still have to do that.
Half of my brain is rotted with that kind of 90s shit.
Yeah. He's still making them, man. Number one movie on Netflix right now. Hubie
Might have
Halloween.
To be the rewatch.
Yeah. Sandler, still doing it. And finally, Shireen, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false? Or vice versa.
I'll be honest with you. This one gives me trouble.
Kind of gives everyone trouble.
Yeah.
All right, name your favorite Pokemon.
My favorite Pokemon.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite Pokemon might be Dragonite or Gengar is like the ghost Pokemon that's like a little mischievous little fuck. And then but the myth I was going to say, okay, one of my myths is just a stupid, like, realization that I had that, like, Gen Z doesn't actually hate millennials. Like, there's, like, this myth that Gen Z hates millennials, and I really just don't, I think they don't even think twice about us, or, like, about millennials at all.
Right. There's, like, a weird love.
It's like that, I feel like Gen Z is the ex that you think about all the time, and they don't even think twice about you. They don't even watch your stories. You know what I mean? Like, it's that relationship where, like, they just exist, and we're, like I came to this realization because I watched this TikTok where this, where this little boy, not even little, he's a boy, he's maybe a teenager, I don't know, but he's explaining Trump's trade policy in this, like, less than a minute TikTok, and I understood Trump's trade policy better than I ever had coming out of that, and it was just this kid playing three characters of like Vietnam, China, and the US, and they're talking to each other back and forth. And not only did I feel incredibly stupid, but it was amazing to see how, I don't know, even now with like Claudia Conway and all this stuff, like we're obsessed with Gen Z. We're obsessed with this like weird generation that's just like spewing TikTok or spewing whatever information, and we're like eating it up, and they don't even think twice about it. They're just existing, and I want to be that blissfully. I want to be that blissfully unaware, I guess, and just like
well, think about as a millennial. Think about how often you thought about Gen X, like. Not at all ever, right?
True.
In the beginning, my relationship to Gen X was those are the people I thought were cool when I was a kid, because those are like the adults in media that sort of informed what I thought being adult or being an older kid was like. You know, like I was taking cues from Gen X characters, I would say. But then at a certain point, I don't know if it's like you actually consciously think about it as like a generational relationship versus like, oh, I think Jay-Z is cool, or like, oh, I think this person is cool or whatever. And then at a certain point, I think it's when you get older and they start there's a certain point where you start seeing your generational tension or like the differences. You're like, I wouldn't do that, Jay. Or like, I wouldn't do that, Pharrell. And then I'm like, okay, maybe they're older. But yeah, it's not, maybe the way I think about it is different, but definitely would think about it a lot when I was younger.
But that's Gen X, like, yeah, Gen X is like neoliberal values, I feel like. And I don't know. I just think Gen X was never like, always was like, this is stupid, too much to ever be like, you guys don't like us. Like, there was never enough, there was never enough like generational pride. But I feel like nobody, the younger generations are always smarter, better, and they give less of a shit than like about you than you give about them. That's always going to be the case.
I just want to be that. I just want to be young again.
Yeah. Well,
that's, fuck yeah.
Yeah. And they'll be,
get that Gen X mentality.
They'll be that smarter in a very like capable, talented, intelligent way, but they'll also know less. And you can't confuse that with being dumber. It's just they just don't give a shit enough to have read all the shit that you've read.
But I think that inhibition, that lack of like any kind of just, I don't know.
Yeah, that, what is a certain nihilism.
Yeah, there's something freeing about that, that just like, oh, God.
Well, yeah, but it's interesting because like we were like the generation that got like our just heads kicked in where we were like, oh man, none of this shit's possible. Like that we thought was like going to college and like you march out and
but
here
I
you
think
go.
That's
do this.
Why
like,
we became so sensitive and that we're just like, they hate us. Like there's no reason why we should care that they hate us or not. But we're just like, so I feel like the millennial generation is like a very sensitive generation where it's just like, any like side eye or whatever, we're just like, oh, like they hate me. Maybe I'm projecting my feelings to an entire generation, but
well, I think we have similar feelings of like insecurities though, like because of that, because the Gen Z, they're also equally coming up in a time like they were kids during a terrible recession. Becoming of age in a terrible economic and political time. So like they're kind of experiencing like similar things where they're like, like, you know, they haven't had like the full wingspread of carefreeness of like people who came of age in the 90s or like early aughts. Like, so I think, and there's certain, I think we are both equally like socially awkward at times and equally like kind of like can get super emo. But they're just perfecting they're perfecting the aesthetic of it for sure.
Yeah, they're just cooler, man. They're just cooler.
Yeah, as long as you keep that in mind, the younger generation is always going to be cooler.
Yeah,
and that's when the older generation, you always have like people like Madonna or like somebody like that who's like, this new generation is just not cool. And it's like,
it's like you're 85. Right. It's just like, no, but
they just never heard of you and they don't really fuck with you. Oh. That's what it is.
It's like all these people hearing Dreams for the first time, or like the song, or like that.
Dreams is the number one song in America right now.
Really?
Dreams. Yeah.
After that viral, was it a TikTok or was it just a video?
Yeah,
I think it was
TikTok,
I think.
Wow.
Whatever it was, it's from heaven.
Yeah. Wow. That is amazing. That guy deserves like some type of like a commission from that.
Yeah. I mean, Ocean Spray bought him a truck and a lifetime supply of sugar water.
what? Really?
Yeah. But I think Fleetwood Mac owes him a lifetime supply of
money.
Cocaine or whatever Fleetwood Mac is good at giving people. Yeah, money might be better.
Money might be good. Yeah, yeah. Right now, that's... Yeah,
or hey, Mick Fleetwood can come by and chop up some fat lines, man. Whenever you want,
blow
that's
up
to you,
asshole.
Dog face. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Wow, that's I didn't know it was number one. That is something. I mean,
it's a good song.
It's a great
song. I wonder,
is
Dogface 420 like doing for Dreams what Wayne's World did for Bohemian Rhapsody?
I think so. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
But I think like this should be happening. This will be happening like more and more, right? Like as because we now have it's just the flattening of all music. It's like we have access to all of it. There's so much good music. Like,
Anna,
and there are people.
Anna just messaged that Mick Fleetwood remade his video. I didn't know that.
Then he definitely owes him money.
Yeah,
and to come over anytime to do drugs.
That is creative control or creative like that's IP. that is IP mm-hmm. that he has stolen.
God, see, now, where are the, like, agencies to swoop in? Be like, Dogface 420, hey.
Oh, they're there. They've definitely...
Mark from UTA, brother. Love to sign you up to the agency, man. Are you thinking about what you're going to do with your likeness and your story?
Yeah. Well, you have all these TikTok stars that are just, like, being actresses now. Like, just, like, getting roles because they're famous on TikTok. Like, the She's All That person.
Right. But that's,
so that's already
Rachel
happening.
Lee Cook?
Or there's a, they're remaking...
yeah, they're Miles, remaking Rachel Lee that. Cook.
I'm not movie. Old.
Molly Ringwald?
I say yeah. it so reflexively too, like it's still 98. Yeah. Rachel Lee Cook?
Freddie Prinze Jr.?
But I mean, that's the same, like, that's just the place that they're going to be discovered, right? Like, that's just a good place to discover young talent. Like,
that's true.
I don't feel like that's any less legitimate than like a casting call or something like that, you know?
I think it's I think for me it's the same vein as like nepotism or like family, like legacy families in the industry. Like it's always going to be easy for some people kind of thing. So
yeah. I think it's better than those things though, right? I was just going to say it's like nepotism except earned.
I guess
like
so.
if Dogface is like in the lead in a new HBO series, I'll be like, he did that on his own.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah,
a good
absolutely.
Point. Yeah,
but then
I
we find out
that.
We find out he's a Coppola.
Starts
when I found
that
out that Nick Cage was a Coppola, I didn't
right.
believe anything anymore.
Right? Isn't that frustrating?
Yeah.
God.
All right, this is we've been long overdue for a break. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And And we're back. All right. Continuing in on the president's just spiral, euphoric, manic episode. What's the latest, Miles? Hit me with another.
Thursday morning. He's calling Maria Bartiromo.
Yeah.
On his, I'm good, bro. Don't worry, fam. Everything's great. Let me tell you some things I'm going to scream out loud over the phone to you. So he called and truly just saying whatever the fuck he wants to. I'm going to play one clip right now. And I just want everybody, just so you understand where this man's coming from, the way he's even describing the pandemic and what is happening is a big shift even for him.
That you were shutting down talks with Nancy Pelosi. How do you want to see aid play out? And what do you want as far as a priority on stimulus?
Well, I shut down talks 2 days ago because they weren't working out. Now they are starting to work out. We're starting to have some very productive talks. And she wants to happen, too. She doesn't want it not to happen. I believe she wants to wants it to happen because it's so good for our country. We really need it. It wasn't our workers' fault. It wasn't our airline's fault that China did this terrible thing to us, and I will not be forgetting about that. China did this. This was all done by China. And we shouldn't be hurting our workers because China put the curse on, because this was a horrible scourge, a horrible, horrible thing that they did.
So it seems like he misspoke, but he kind of doubles down. They put a curse.
They put
the
curse
United
on.
States.
They put the curse on.
They gave,
we are
they gave
okay,
us the
if
evil
Donald
eye.
Trump, if Donald Trump ruins the word curse, that's what's going to make me leave the country.
Somehow. I mean, this is
they
the like
Maloika on us, right?
It's the Tolkien phase. You know what I mean? We're in the Game of Thrones phase where now we're dealing with like mythical forces, supernatural shit to explain his own ineptitude, like in his own mind. Or whatever. I mean, because I know like with anybody who's a slippery snake and doesn't want to be held accountable, they say whatever the fuck they got to avoid saying the words, yeah, I fucked up. So in this case is, I mean, you know, they put the curse on us. And obviously, President Xi, he put the fucking, he burnt the offerings at the temple. We saw that. Okay. And that's why, and I don't even know if you remember, the fires in California were started by Dracarys, okay, one of Khaleesi's dragons. So, you know,
do you think
dangerous
this is
times.
Intentional? Like, do you think he's thinking, okay, my followers are more likely to be religious and like believe in this sort of thing? So maybe I can just like sort of put it in these
it's
terms?
So
or do you
good.
Think it's like part of it's, actually like his beliefs and just like his good versus evil? They're
it's everything.
Us.
I mean,
it's everything.
I think it's, I didn't realize it could be a bit of that, but for me, I just always assume that he is struggling to find synonyms for things because he always uses the same words.
Right.
So I just think like someone gives him like a list of synonyms for the word horrible or the word like bad, and he just like picks them out of a thing. But if he's maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I think he's too dumb and he's actually more calculated and thinks of it in a religious term.
If you think it's calculated, right, it works because he's completely flooding the zone with headlines questioning what his state, the state he's in. And that becomes the entire focus of the news cycle. And it doesn't become about the fact that he is incapable of doing anything on COVID relief with like 100 or what is it, a million people filing for unemployment again, or his tax schemes or any myriad of these other not even knowing if he was actually like the epicenter patient zero for the White House outbreak. There's so many things that
now
aren't
the
being spoken
Gold Star
about.
Families that gave it to him when they were
exactly
they were coming
dirty.
Too close. They were, you
oh, God.
Know, that's what he's claiming. He's saying that he thinks the families of military.
Oh, he really said that?
Yeah, he said it was Gold Star families getting too close to him, and he. You know, he can't say no to them because they just want to come in. They want to do a little hugging, a little kissing. And I can't say no to them. I can't.
You know how they are. We send them off to brutalize people against their own will. And then they come back with the COVID.
The event that he's pointing to, by the way, happened the day after that Rose Garden clusterfuck where everybody who was there got COVID. So doesn't really work out in terms of,
he just blames anyone else instead of like being like, I'm the super spreader of all of these things. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
He goes
unrelated,
on.
Your Trump impression, Jack, is terrible and terrifying. Terrible and terrifying. There's, I meant terrifying, doing my and then best. I said terrible.
It's okay, all the above.
I'm leaving now.
It's terrible. The whole thing, he goes on, he was then saying, like, you know, really with his chest being like, Obama and Biden committed the world's worst political crimes, and Bill Barr must have, screaming. And like, Maria Bartiromo was like, Then we really know how desperate he is, because then we get to the emails. Listen to this now. He's still bringing this up 4 years later.
Supreme Court justice confirmed before the election. Do you still feel that you can do that and confirm Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court in the next 25 days?
If we don't, it's the Republicans' fault, because there's no reason why not. Look, I'm president, and it's happened 29 times. She made another mistake last night when she said about Lincoln. She was wrong on that. Of course, you know, they say things like we go over it. They say we're not going to do this, and they're going to do it. They say they just make. I've never seen such liars as this. They're worse than Crooked Hillary. She was worse in other ways. She was worse when she deleted 33,000 emails illegally, and she should be indicted for that. If people delete emails in a regular court case, she deleted 33,000 emails and nothing happens to her. Our justice system, nothing happens to her. With all of the pages of stuff, thousands of pages that we have on them, nothing happens to them. Nothing happens.
Well, and, this you know, is what I said saying. I'm going to not get
involved,
saying.
But I mean, I'm going to have to get involved because John Ratcliffe, these people are
John
crooked
Ratcliffe
people.
Declassifies all this stuff. It's sitting on his desk, the 1,000 pages sitting on A.G. Barr's desk. What is he going to do about it?
I don't know why they're not doing it.
Why is he talking about
him? Sorry, I just fell asleep the second he started talking about that. I got so exhausted. Just on a deep spiritual, existential level, I can't maintain consciousness when he's talking about emails.
No. It,
the Yeah, Mr. President, the question was about confirming a Supreme Court justice. And he does that thing where it's like even like, you know, like friends who have the same three stories they bring up. And it's kind of like it kind of bums you out because, you know, they're going to bring up the same three fucking things. Like, you know, he's like, the 33,000 email. Right. And then the FBI, the wire. And then you'll lock her. And then she must be. It's just like, oh, no. Like, he's not even aware. But again, this is him going out there to project leadership because everyone's saying like he's trying to get back on the campaign trail like as early as Monday because he's just felt so just drained from not being on TV, seeing himself and doing the things that he's normally used to despite the state of his health. So on top of that, he just goes on here with a moment to maybe campaign something and then he resorts to the same old song and dance.
Yeah, because I mean, he's so much about instinct, and the thing that worked for him last time was talking about Hillary Clinton's emails, and he just doesn't have a thing. He hasn't found his new material. It's like Seinfeld. Right. It's like Seinfeld's latest stand up special. You know,
bad.
he's still trying out new material, and whoo, my man. Look for a new career.
He's reaching for scraps.
He did try out some new material actually on Kamala Harris. And it kind of goes with what you were saying earlier, Miles, about the Tolkien version of reality where he claimed, I think, that she was a monster.
This is another one. We'll play this one.
And the radical left controls Biden won't be president for 2 months, okay? He won't be president for 2 months.
So if Biden never got in, you mean he'll have to step down? Are you saying you think he'll have to step down after 2 months?
He's not mentally capable of being president. You know that. Everybody knows that. Everybody that knows him, he can't be president. And this monster that was on stage with Mike Pence, who destroyed her last night, by the way, but this monster, she says, no, there won't be fracking. There won't be this. Everything she said is a lie. In fact,
she wants to reimagine
the police. Take a look at the manifesto.
Ooh, Maria coming in trying to yes and it with she wants to reimagine the police, but she can't rein him in. He's off on one about
he says monster twice, not once, but twice.
Calls her a monster for lying, which isn't a monstrous
It's very strange.
Oh, it is. She's a monster. You should have seen her. She had flames coming out of her nose. Those teeth.
Meanwhile,
gnashing.
My guy, rotting zombie on stage, on his head.
I don't know if you saw that fight between the monster and the human piece of shit last night, but it was something.
Did you guys watch the debate? I didn't even have a chance to watch it.
That's not fair because I watched it knowing I was going to be on the show today.
I know.
I watched it.
I even took notes. What did you even think?
Did you? I mean, to be honest, even watching it, it was like a big yawn fest because.
This is my tactic. I don't watch it live. Mm-hmm. I wait until it's done, and then I go on YouTube and I go on double speed on the live stream.
Wow!
And then it goes by very fast.
Oh shit!
Yeah, life hack.
I know.
I like that.
Life.
Yeah,
hack.
That's a weird one. It's like when you still want to be engaged, even though it's killing you inside, just do it at twice the speed.
If I wasn't going to be on the show today, I would not have watched it. I'm going to be very.
That's true.
And
I don't think many people, for the same reason, right? Where you'd think it would be important, but like we're in such a bizarre state of affairs in general, where I think the only thing of consequence, maybe, like, obviously there was the typical ducking and diving about, like, you know, clarifying points, or that I was on the Green New Deal or fracking or whatever, any and myriad of topics. But the one was like when Mike Pence refused to actually say what he would do if the president refused to peacefully transition. That was like the one thing that I was like, okay, so now he's into. What was funny is the moderator just let that go. It was like, okay, thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Well, because
and
she
moving on
isn't
to you.
Even unbiased. Like, I looked her up, and she pretends to be this unbiased journalist, but she, like hosted this, like, taxpayer-funded fundraiser for, like, one of Donald Trump's picks for, like, some judge or something. I don't know. But, like, she is a journalist that pretends to be unbiased, but if you look into her record, she's, like, kind of red-leaning, and so it's a little annoying that I don't know. She just rubbed me the wrong way, but that moment was very like unsettling, to say the least.
Yeah.
To just like see him not dodge, like dodging every other question was maybe like expected. Like he didn't really answer anything, but that one in particular was like kind of daunting.
Yeah.
And now, with regards to the presidential debate, Trump has, you know, he changes his mind, and so I don't even know if it's worth saying what his latest stance is, but he claims he's not going to do the next debate unless it's in person, which he is a super spreader. So
yeah, well, I think that translates to I'm not going to do the debate unless I can infect Joe Biden. So.
Right. Yeah. Unless we can even
but
the
I also,
playing field.
Because this
somebody's got to test his lips before the debate. I think I should.
But just because I'm afraid of the fact checkers that listen to the show, the fundraiser that Susan Page hosted, I just looked this up just to make sure. It was to celebrate in 2018 Seema Verna's nomination by Trump serve as the head of the Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Dude, Seema Verna is the fucking worst.
Yeah. So that's who she hosts. Like, she like celebrated this whole thing. She tweeted about it. Susan Page tweeted about it and all this
it's
stuff. So.
That's all. I mean, because I think it was technically it's USA Today, right? So you're not going to be like, oh, yes, someone who gets it. I love that their newspaper's in color and gives me this bizarre take on the country every morning when I'm in a hotel.
So we'll see where the debate thing ends up. But that's,
I mean, the latest thing I read that he was trying to postpone it to the 22nd, the one that was supposed to be on the 15th.
Right.
And that he refused to do a virtual debate, which is so just infuriating.
Yeah, he wants to delay it, which I don't know why, when he feels better than he did 20 years ago right now. It seems like he should want to get this thing going.
By the time, even 10 minutes from now, he's going to be like, I've actually figured it out. It's going to be all holograms, and it's going to be me. I will be the real one, everyone else, and we're doing it. It's going to be monster-free, wizard-free, and sorceress-free debate. I'm telling you. No witchcraft.
Let's talk really briefly about this story that just broke yesterday morning. And so details are still coming in, but they caught a militia that calls themselves the Wolverine Watchmen. So a group of people who
Combine your two favorite comics.
Not great at reading comprehension, but they're a Michigan militia that was plotting to kidnap and potentially murder Gretchen Whitmer, who, you know, the right was up in arms about her being overzealous with her pandemic lockdown rules. Like, her attempts to protect them were, you know, they wanted to kidnap her, imprison her, and, you know, hold a mock trial where they sentenced her to death. And their their deadline for that was the election. So it was specifically motivated by, you know, politics. This is not an apolitical terror cell that is like both sides. This is people who are working in direct lockstep with Trump's tweet from back in April, liberate Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, but like, can you imagine if like six American Muslims were arrested in a plot to like overthrow the government or like to kidnap any governor or like politician? Like, the word terrorist or terrorism would be the first word to describe it.
Right.
But everything I've been reading, they're calling them militia. They're not really... They're like skirting around this.
Yeah, because it's white people. We know. I mean, come on. We know this.
I know that, but it's just like really inability.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
She's a white person too. You know what I mean? You would think that they would like at least have some. I don't know. You would think that her being white would make some people feel worse.
The media completely fucked it up too, covering it, because without saying terrorist, they're like, this plot to blah blah blah, and then make reference, right, that there was this joint terrorism task force involvement with the FBI, and how they point out that, like, it's really interesting because when the JTTF gets involved, it's usually on, like, you know, like cases, you know, like maybe it would be an ISIS plot or Al Qaeda. And so they're working out, shows you
matter,
it's,
or,
yeah, like, yeah, or, you know, people fighting to combat redlining. Anyway, so what the deal is here is there, that shows you sort of how they're looking at it too. It's like, well, then why don't you look at it the way it is? Because it's terror. It's politically motivated terror.
Yeah.
And this, you know, it's fucking frightening. You know what I mean? Because they were straight. They were doing a lot to get this far. They were, you know, doing reconnaissance on the vacation home of the governor, trying to figure out how to booby trap maybe the, like, roads physically, for any responding officers. Yes,
they
physically
weren't
going
like Google
there.
Google mapping.
No,
they were physically there. They were physically going and location scouting for a bridge that they could bomb to collapse the bridge to distract law enforcement so that they could then kidnap her.
But even the word, the militia, like, why are we calling, like, they're a terrorist group.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that word.
I think because it's using the old language that, like, the ATF and FBI was using, like, because Michigan, like, Oklahoma City, there's connections to those Michigan militias and all of that. So I think it's been an existing, it's what they've always, like, it's these militias out here. But now, like, I think we have to evolve our nomenclature, our language around this to be more indicative of what it is, which is it's terror. It's their
right wing terror. It's white supremacist terror. This is their cultural heritage as white supremacists. They're incompetent terrorists. They tell us who they are. They're out in the open about it, and then they get infiltrated by the FBI. Usually, they canonize the OKC bomber who killed a daycare center's worth of innocent children.
Wow.
And if you're on the right and support Trump, if you vote for Trump, that is the side that you are passively on or actively on, depending on like what you're doing. When it comes time to, like, their version of taking action is not to demonstrate peacefully or to take to the streets in nonviolent protest. They take to the streets and start murdering nonviolent protesters with long rifles or driving their cars through them or plotting to kidnap Democratic leaders. Yeah. They plot to murder. These people were plotting to murder cops. That's how it first came on the scene, or it came on the radar of law enforcement, is they were plotting to, they were trying to get the addresses of local police to murder them, because they thought they were like helping to lock down Michigan. Again, this is all part of a democratic process of trying to protect people from a global pandemic. But and again, these are things that if Fox News
like you said, Shireen, if Fox News heard any of these things coming from Black Lives Matter, coming from anyone who was, you know,
Antifa
with
started
Islam,
the fires, though.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone associated
any
with
person
Antifa,
of color, anything.
They would shoot in their pants. They would not be able to, like, stay upright trying to, like, rush to get this shit on the front page of, you know, Fox News. But
I mean, yeah, it goes hand in hand with the fact that Trump was like, stand back and stand by or whatever the shit. And like, even Pence yesterday, the moderator brought up the fact that Trump didn't actually verbalize or like condemn white supremacy. He also like averted away from that question too. Like they're skirting around it because they know so many of their followers are white supremacists and they don't want to insult them in any way. But it's so disgusting to see it play out. And just to, I mean, like, yeah, like liberate Michigan, like that tweet is directly related to like emboldening the same people that tried to kidnap a governor. Like that is, and these dumb idiots, they probably think they're like Ocean 11 or whatever. Like they probably are. Like, I hate imagining like the, like them doing this stuff, like thinking they're so fucking cool. And, and like, I'm going to find a bridge. I'm going to do this. You go that, like, oh, like they probably have walkie talkies or some shit. I don't know. But
no, I mean, they were very set up. I mean, they it got to a point where they were having
over and out.
Exactly.
They were having and also making that sound. They're like, you don't have to do that with your mouth.
Yeah, we're on a cell phone.
They have a, like, they were having meetings in a, like, trap door basement facility in the back of a store. Like, they were, it was getting very serious where they were very concerned. They were confiscating cell phones from the, from people who were attending this meeting. But the feds had someone with a, like, they had a recording device on them and still recorded these meetings. And that's how it got there. So, I mean, that's what's really ultimately, you know, you see really the commitment to this kind of shit that, you know, and but again, they, this is the language that they speak. They're saying that they, all of this is in hopes of starting a civil war and trying to embolden other groups like this. But yeah,
when people mention the Boogaloo Boys, like, I know we've talked about it here, but like, it bears repeating. Everybody's always surprised when I bring it up conversationally that Boogaloo Boys is because they're doing the old joke blank blank to Electric Boogaloo for the Civil War. They want a second Civil War, and so they're called the Boogaloo Boys because they want Civil War to Electric Boogaloo. Like, they tell us who they are. They want a Civil War. And I also, like, right-wing media, like, we need to make sure they own this. They're not going to obviously own it, but like, I was just incidentally, when I typed Gretchen Whitmer's name into Chrome, the last article that came up was a Wall Street Journal editorial board article, like their entire editorial board, comparing her to a tyrant.
What?
Like,
right.
Fuck right off. The right is and has always been the side of tyranny and terrorism and fascism, and the side that actually uses violence against humans, not buildings, to accomplish their aim. And we need to stop pretending they aren't, because like, the both sides-ing shit is what got us here. Like the, I'm tired of it.
I mean, that is disgraceful that that was like the first thing that came up. Like, are you shitting me? Like,
that's just because it was the last thing I saw. So,
but still, it's like, even the fact that it was written and she's just like literally trying to protect her state and following the regulations like set out by scientists and like leading medical professionals, and she's a tyrant? Are you shit? Yeah. Like, that word should never be used for anyone other than an actual tyrant, which is like Trump. But but these people are like, they're living out these long had fantasies of like just whatever they like, these video game kind of fantasies, or these just like going out with a rifle to protest and feeling like they're like they're powerful. It's really unsettling that at the end of the day, they're just, it's a power trip, and I'm more afraid of these people than I am of Trump, because I'm afraid of what happens when Trump does eventually, if he ever lets go of his power, but what's going to happen to all of these emboldened people, and they're probably going to keep planning these weird plans. I refuse to believe that they they won't. I don't know. They terrify me. It's so strange that they exist and that they that there's so many of them. But it's just it's just so unsettling. I don't know.
Fox News isn't going to be like, our bad. We had it wrong. Like, they're still going to have a national megaphone for, you know, at the very least, like, soft versions of the fascism and the racism and white supremacy that they believe in.
It's shameful.
Yeah. Anyways, let's take another break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and just a shout out to football fans in Florida and Louisiana.
Yeah.
Godspeed to y'all.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis has said he moved the state into phase 3, I think, at the end of September, which basically means you can have a stadium at full capacity without asking the state for any kind of permit. You're just like, yeah, all right, we're good. Phase 3, do your thing. Luckily, no NFL team is willing to do that. The Dolphins are doing the right thing, and they want only 13,000 people to gamble with their lives, right, which should be fine, rather than like the full capacity of like 65,000.
Right.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, these are still massive money-making companies, and they know people could sue them. It's not like where Ron DeSantis would be like, I don't give a shit. Good luck. I'm fucking everybody over. But these but like, you know, the NFL, they're not willing to go there. And then over like at LSU, I know like for their games, they're going to 25% capacity. I think their stadium holds like 100,000. And they just said a couple days ago that they are doing away with the CDC wellness checks for like fans in attendance, where like they would have to sort of like go through this thing to say like, oh, I'm not experiencing this, I haven't had fever, et cetera, et cetera, because they don't want to hold the lines up.
Mm.
What?
So they're how asking many fans are gonna be to at check the, at home.
How many people are going to be at the LSU game?
I mean, this weekend, I think they play Missouri or something like that. So I don't know. I mean, I'd imagine they're going to have it at 1/4 capacity because that's what they've been doing. So, I mean, because like in these states, they haven't had quite yet like these huge surges like maybe other places have. And I think that's what's emboldening them. But like all experts are saying, like, this is what happens when you do that. We deal with it fucking 3 weeks later in the form of just a surge of cases. And right now, like, you know, overall as a country, we're still not doing great. So, yes, I think it's just, again, one of those things where there's, to your point, even like Wall Street Journal calling Governor Whitmer a tyrant. It's like, think of who's calling who a tyrant, because the Wall Street Journal is just the mouthpiece of like the ownership business owning class in this country, the oligarchical class. And they're calling the person saying like, you're keeping me from making my money, you fucking tyrant. So I can put my workers at fucking risk to make my money. Am I the tyrant? Yes, by most measures and definition of the word. But in this very narrow instance, to try and fucking get my lemmings to fucking march in the right direction, you are the fucking tyrant. And it's just really, you know, I hope more and more people begin to see like these things for what they are. Like, it's not tyranny when you're actually, what you're doing is for the safety of people. And the people who are, you know, broadly negatively affected, obviously, aside from the unemployment effects and things like that, it's like this push, this need to reopen comes from the people who own all of the businesses and hate not making their money, or, you know, have over leveraged their businesses and were already kind of on thin ice, and to pull the plug on their machine is catastrophic. So, but yet there's none of that consideration for the people whose like actual IRL day-to-day lives are being the most fucked up, like rather than someone who's like, well, there goes my portfolio. What about people who are like, well, there's my roof over my head, there's my next meal for my family, there's my medical bill expense, etc. So, you know, tyranny and all that.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a good point. I think, I mean, I'm hoping as time goes on, we don't really, it's unfortunate that journalism is now, again, like, who owns it? And that's, like, the motivation behind, like, what is reported. But yeah, you're right. Like, the Wall Street, I mean, like, that makes sense, you know, the more I think about it. But you do have to look at who owns what and what their motivations are. But it is really unfortunate because, like, I feel for businesses. My dad's a business owner. Like, it's but he's also not, like, he isn't the bit, like, he isn't a business owner that is being taken care of because he's not big enough or important enough to get the aid that he needs. And so it's so annoying that now we're in October and we still can't, like, the 3 weeks thing with the surge and everything, it's not new information. That's what really is baffling. It's like, this is what's been going on since March. Like, this is not new. Like, like Dr. Fauci was like, we have to get ready to buckle down again. And I'm like, who stopped? But like, why did we ever stop? Like, nothing changed. We should never have stopped bunkering down. I don't know, man. It makes me all mad. I'm just mad all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, because all we've done is just constantly reveal, I mean, for, I think many people, depending on, you know, I always say this, like, you're however engaged you are with the politics of the country, like, more and more, it's just eating away at this veneer that America's like this smiling figure with open arms, and it's actually just a fucking bone shredder machine, fucking wood chipper, that is only there to like just like break you down for whatever loose change you've got and just spit you out on the other side. And it's just like to that almost near literal point where it's like, I don't know, man, if you can't afford to live right now, I wish I had an answer for you, but I'm just the government. I don't know what you want me to do. And it's like Trump,
like months ago, he was like, people will die. Like, just like accepting that, like, if you don't make it, like, survival of the fittest, you're bad. You know what I mean? It's,
Yeah.
It's just...
But then again, but don't talk about him right now. He's sick. Just because he said there will be death doesn't mean you have to apply the same callous viewpoint to his life.
I unfollowed people that I've known for years that tweeted that we should have sympathy or like we shouldn't be like wish death upon Trump or like wish him ill. She was like, I'm not going to name names, but it was essentially I wish him a speedy recovery kind of bullshit. And that's like where I draw the line. I'm just like, no, there's no, why have empathy
for someone who's actively invested in the destruction of your entire people and culture and fucking everything.
And this was a person of color. But I'm at that point where I'm like, I will unfollow you and never talk to you again because you've proven to be a dummy. Like this, don't like being the better person, the bigger person, like having a big heart. Like it's not. That's not the time for that. You know, it's like things are way too serious and way too just lethal to have that kind of mentality.
Yeah.
And I even get mad at there's someone that I know that voted Green Party. And I'm just like, I'm not going to pretend I'm obsessed with Biden. You know what I mean? I'm not going to pretend he's like my guy, but I'm going to vote for him because at the end of the day, he is better. Like objectively, it's not hard to be better than Trump, but like the same thing was said if you look at the coverage from like Bush and Gore, everyone was saying there's not that much, like they're kind of the same. And people that say that, and they obviously they're not, like if Gore got elected, I want to be in that timeline kind of thing,
right?
But at this juncture, saying that Biden and Trump are the same, like I don't know.
I think.
Sorry, I got. I'm just mad about certain things, and I went off on a tangent.
No, I think everybody's feeling that right now.
They definitely offer two. There, I mean, there's definitely good and bad, but to say they're the same is like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
I could forgive that point of view much easier in 2016 than now.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's not even about liking Trump. If you are okay with Trump, if you look at him and you're like, shrug, like that's just as bad to me. Like I just have no patience for that. And
I think it also, when you see people not respond in the same way, you're like, oh wow, these things are not real to you. Mm-hmm. They're not,
right. Exactly.
You don't look at this. It's not a threat because you see like a red light and I see a fucking fireball coming at me. And you're choosing to look at it like, well, yeah, you could say it's a fireball, but if you squint your eyes, it could just be a little red light.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, asshole. Like you people. And I think that's the luxury ultimately these people have.
Yeah. It's luxury. It's privilege. Like if you're undecided, it's a huge privilege because you've lived a life of privilege to be undecided at this point.
And if you are not in a position of privilege, maybe, you know, socioeconomically or whatever, and you still feel like that on paper, you should be engaged. You really need this shit is so massively important. But regardless of the outcome and whoever is or is not president, I mean, like, you know, there's just the struggle is going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to keep the fucking pedal to the metal, like just straight through this because we are still leaving so many people behind. And based on what I'm hearing out of both candidates, we don't quite have a plan to deal with everybody in this country, to deal with everybody humanely. And that's really, you know, the shit that people should be campaigning on. So, you know, vote, Miles Gray 2024.
Well, I mean, like, what's bothering me a little bit is this idea like 2020 sucks or like 2020, like what a year. And like, yes, it's been wild, a wild ride. But it's not going to end at January 1st, 2021. And it didn't start January 1st, 2020 either. This is like a culmination of things that have been happening.
Oh, yeah. This shit started July 4th, 1776.
Exactly. But I mean, like, you're right. Like, we have to keep going. And, like, 2021 will just, like, it's not going to end. Like, the pandemic isn't going to disappear in January. Like, we're not going to magically have things open in January or have a new outlook on life or whatever. Like, this is part of the work that we have to keep keep doing.
Yeah, the ain't shit allies will continue to show themselves too, because they'll be like, oh, thank God, Biden-Harris won. All right, well, back to that. Who's riding a bike in front of my house right now? I'm going to call the police on them. You have to realize it doesn't stop there. It can't end there. Until we're really talking about these sort of restorative policies to make people whole, or at least give people the feeling that they're living in a place where they, you know, the intent is to make people whole. We're not going to be done. No.
Yeah. It's those black square folks need to really step up, in my opinion. But I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Let's real quick before we go, let's figure out what we're going to watch on Netflix this weekend.
Hubie.
Are you going to watch Hubie? So
I'm watching Hubie.
The top 10 on Netflix right now. Number one is Hubie Halloween.
I've never heard of it.
That is a new Adam Sandler PG-13 horror comedy with a pretty decent trailer. I actually enjoyed it.
I was just thinking, why am I
not? I'm not going to lie.
And you said Adam Sandler, I
watched the first 30 minutes.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, and I have to finish it. That's why I'm like, I'm already watching it.
It's another Sandler movie where he's doing a voice the whole time.
Jack, you should probably watch it too, because as I watch it, for better or worse, I just realize how much of the Sandler cinematic universe is just laser engraved on my fucking brain. And there are moments when I'm connecting all the, because there's so many references. But you know, I don't know. Some people are also pulling for you to watch Emily in Paris. So that could be another, that could be a
Is that true? Are people wanting some Emily in Paris?
I mean, one Anna Hosnier is.
I just Wikipedia'd Emily in Paris, and it seems like an affront to Parisian culture, just all culture in general.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's doing very well.
Oh my, dude, the first, when you just Google it, the first one that comes up for me is Hollywood Reporter. Embarrassing. Netflix's Emily in Paris blasted by French critics. Oh, so this is like a culture war.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Like white us versus France. Yeah.
So the premise of Emily in Paris, which is at number four right now, follows a driven 20-something American woman from Chicago who leaves her previous life and boyfriend behind and moves to Paris for an unexpected job opportunity. She's tasked with bringing an American point of view to a venerable French marketing firm. So she's got to teach. It's like Crocodile Dundee, except with an American, 20-something as the Crocodile Dundee figure. And they're trying to teach Parisians what it is. But it's a series. So that means that.
Oh, it's a series?
Oh, no.
It's not a movie? Oh, no.
Can't do that to myself, unfortunately. So I will have to. Damn, that does seem really promising. Maybe I'll watch three episodes of it and get deep enough into it to
get just rage out. Because I have a feeling that, you know, that pilot is, you're probably going to do spit takes of the terrible, there's going to be a baguette joke. You know, there's someone is going to wear a striped shirt with
and a beret. Yeah.
Neckerchief. And baguette.
I am so excited for this now.
And I,
there's going
what's
to be
the over under on that?
There's going to be croissants. There's going to be,
or croissants. There's going to be scenes like that. Oh, did you hear what she said?
Anna says the French hate it. Twitter loves it.
Yeah. All right.
Wait, are we only limited to stuff on Netflix? Is that, do you have a deal with Netflix or?
No, it's just the one thing guests have.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
I could be hey, everybody ready to watch Fubo TV?
I've just been meaning to watch The Boys. I haven't seen The Boys, and
yeah,
that's
too.
Something on my list that I really want to see. But I think that's an Amazon.
Yeah, it is Amazon, but I think enough people have Amazon. Why don't you watch that? That'll be your next assignment. So your last assignment was watching all of Seinfeld and reporting back. And now your next assignment, if you have time, should you choose to accept, is watch The Boys. Let us know. I hear
Thank
it's actually
so
pretty good.
Yeah. I heard it's very good. Yeah, it seems like it's up my alley. Very
It's on my list of things I watch, but I don't talk about on this show.
Why?
Oh, really? You've watched it?
No, like, I'm saying of things. Well, because, like, every week we watch something and talk about, but, like, I watch so much weird shit, between the trash reality or, like, you know, not being able to sleep watching some other weird shit.
Sorry. That was the most invasive.
Sorry.
Do you know what I have to finish that I really enjoyed? Okay, I'm not a reality person, but I guess it's, like, not really reality, but it's, like, a show, what's it called? Love on the Spectrum. It is
I heard it's really good.
Endearing. I haven't finished it. I've only maybe seen like two or three episodes, but it is so, so good and so just like lovely to watch right now because it's like people with Asperger's or people that are on the spectrum of autism and they it's like you see their experience with dating and I'm pretty sure they're in Australia. But it is so, and that's on Netflix, so there's that. But,
you had me at Australia.
great. I knew that would get somebody. But it's a really heartwarming watch, and I think it's just a really important show. You don't really see stuff with, like, a lot of representation for people that are on the spectrum, or, like, even portraying them as, like, actual human beings with, like, motivations and wants and stuff. But, I really liked it from what I saw. I have to finish it though.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Well, Shireen, it has been a pleasure as always having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
Oh, well, you can listen to me and Anna's podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous. It's Ethnically Amb on Twitter, Ethnically Ambig on Instagram. And I am on Twitter at ShiroHero666. And then on Instagram, it's just ShiroHero. And that's it. I don't know. You can follow me if you want. And if you don't, I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Well, it felt like I would be remiss to not choose a tweet from Fly Twitter that happened because we are recording this the day after the eve of Fly Twitter.
Yeah.
And my favorite one, it came from the queen herself, Jamie Loftus. It was just... All she says was hee-hee, but the images that she chose are the fly on Pence's head and the bird on Bernie's podium, just juxtaposing those two things. I don't know. It made me miss Bernie. It made me miss that I'm feeling that moment of pure hope when that bird landed on the podium. But it's also, like, funny to me to just juxtapose, like, this one pure old man to one reanimated corpse living on this... in this planet, but that was a tweet that gave me some joy last night. So there's that.
There you go. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray, and the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. I don't have a tweet, but shout out to people on social media. I tweeted during the debate. I did that, like, when you can just tweet, like, using, like, iOS without opening Twitter. It's like, send tweet like that. I'm like, yep, let's do that.
Yep.
But anyway, you know, shout out to the people on the Discord, the title in AKA's channel right there, because that I seize you.
Nice. I'll give a shout out real quick to Priyanka Dawes, who, and also my name... _Blake for creating the visual, the Photoshop of Trump bursting from Fauci's chest as a chest burster.
Oh shit!
I love Priyanka. Dope. Hey yeah. Priyanka, love you.
Priyanka rules.
Thinking of you, you're the best.
And, oh yeah, how come you'd have an after party when we were in town? I heard about that.
I know.
That was an amazing night. That was A+. She was a great host.
Zeit Gang rules.
Yeah, she really does.
Some of y'all do. And Zig tweeted, "Me and the boys hanging dong on Maine in hopes of turning Texas blue."
That's
around
pretty
the time
good.
That all the celebrities were doing that nudity video, they
can't get it right, can they?
They just stop trying, y'all.
Just stop
trying. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on, Miles. What are we riding out on today?
Yeah, we're going to go out on a track by the Budos Band. Their track's called The Wrangler. And the Budos Band, one of my favorite, just, you know, instrumental, brass, mixed, everything. They got all the instruments popping. They really started off making like a lot of Afrobeat. And then now they just kind of have this sort of nice vintage throwback style. So, you know, if you're, you know, put your headphones in and pretend you're in a movie and you're the main character and listen to this. This is your theme song as you walk through the grocery store or whatever. And I guarantee you have a good time. But please treat everyone with respect.
Grocery store. Be inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Although, you know, you're not allowed at the Trader Joe's on wheels anymore. I saw that photo. They're saying, beware of this man.
Yeah.
Roller Jack.
Sort of annoying. Because my outfit really needs the roller skates to be pulled off with the leg warmers and the short shorts.
Otherwise, they're just regular acid washed cutoffs.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.